Well, greetings to everyone. It is lovely to be here. My dear wife Nancy is over there, along with Joel. Raise your hand, Joel. Very good. And we are just delighted to finally be here. Our brother Alexander, who is also over there, has invited us to come many times, but you know, we're kind of busy in life overseas. But finally, we were able to come to the great city of Dallas. Or the Dallas-Fort Worth general area. And it's just a delight to be with you folks here today. If you have your Bibles, which I'm sure all of you do, let's turn over to Acts chapter 18. I put on the table down here something that was freshly printed yesterday. It's something we don't do very often. We always forget to do it. And it's one of these things, what do you call it, a prayer card or something like that. If you want a copy, you know, feel free to get it down there. Greetings from the believers in Albania, particularly from the city of Pogradets. Alex, brother Alex, has visited there quite a few times, and we really have appreciated his ministry, and we hope that both he and his wife will come back very soon. So it's a blessing to have them here and also overseas. But we're going to talk today. The theme is, as you can see, world missions and the Christian family. It's behind me as well. So I think today will be an encouragement. It's a message that it's on my heart. And it's about a Christian family, Aquila and Priscilla. And this couple, when we first learned about this as new Christians, they changed our lives in just a dramatic way. And I'm hoping that today this will be a special blessing to you as we talk about a Christian family and also talk about world missions. You understand when I say world missions? Is that a foreign expression to you? You know, it's people need the Lord all over the world. And so let's see how we can put these two together, a Christian family and world missions. Of course, they were beloved friends of the Apostle Paul, and one of his last words that he had to us, he says, greet. Well, of course, he greets his friends, but in that list was Priscilla and Aquila. They were very special people in his heart. So we know that this will have a very special message for us today. They were a Christian husband and wife who embraced the cause of Christ. And of course, you understand what I mean when I say the cause of Christ. It's just not for us to have a good life here in this world, but it's for us to take the gospel everywhere in the world to those who need it. And there were a couple that figured this out. And I think there'll be many lessons for us today as we open up the Word of God. Let's read verse 1 of chapter 18. And I want to ask your forgiveness if I stumble over my words, because I usually don't preach in English. I preach in Albanian, so I'm having to reaccustom myself to the English language, and I'm tempted to talk in Albanian here. But let's read verse 1 of chapter 18 from the book of Acts. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and the date is about 49 A.D. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. In other words, there was great anti-Semitism in the city of Rome, and he expelled them all. And they came where? Well, he came down to the city of Corinth, and you can see on the map, you know, the direction they took. In fact, you might say they were refugees. There's a lot of refugees in the world today. But God, and this is something very important to realize, God, in regards to the world missions, often allows things to happen, we would say divine circumstances, for us to be made aware of the real needs in the world. And here, during these divine circumstances, he takes them from Rome, which is a nice place, down to Corinth. It's just the way God works. And, you know, today, you're in this meeting. aren't you? And it's no accident that you're here. You know, maybe you come here every Sunday. Maybe you're a visitor here today. And maybe you've never been in a church before. But this is no accident. You're here today, and I think God has a message for everyone in this room. You know, they were ordinary people. We read in verse 3 of Acts chapter 18, for by occupation they were tent makers. Is there anyone here who's a tent maker? Now, that's hard work. If you're making tent, believe me, I know I have friends who do this, and that's a hard profession, hard work every day. Yeah, did they have a university degree? Maybe a lot of us here in this room have university degrees. And praise the Lord if you do. I doubt if they did. They were just simple, common, ordinary people like you and I. But they had something that many people don't have. And they have had a heart for the cause of Christ. A heart for the things of God. You know, and that's what God is looking for in everybody in this room today. He's looking not at your university degree. He's not looking at your profession. He's looking at whether you have a heart for the things of God, an open heart. And we're going to see they had a great open heart. Now, they came down from Rome to Corinth. And how much they had been taught up in Rome, you know, I'm not sure. But they were disciples. And just like any of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we grow every year, don't we? At least that's what the goal is. We never stay the same. We always want to grow. And I'm sure they grew up. In verse 11, he, that is Paul, continued there a year and 6 months. Imagine having the Apostle Paul in this meeting. Edmunds Lane Bible Chapel, is that correct? Edmunds Lane is a street out here. Imagine if the Apostle Paul was here for 1.5 years. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I imagine we'd learn all sorts of new things as Paul preached. And I'm sure we could say that Priscilla and Aquila were involved in a very healthy assembly, local assembly, and learned many things from the Apostle Paul. But you can also be sure that the Apostle Paul also taught them and everybody else there about the Great Commission, what we call today the Great Commission. And perhaps in one of those messages, the Apostle Paul quoted the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, go into what? The world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, that's powerful words, isn't it? And, you know, let's just face it, this is a command by the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure the Apostle Paul brought this forth to everybody there in the Corinth assembly. The Lord Jesus wants us to go everywhere and preach the gospel. And even himself, he probably bore his heart where he says, you know, look, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You know, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. You have come here, well, through the divine circumstances of God. And there's only one way to go to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is the only way that God has provided for us to go to heaven. And he came here and died for your sins upon that cross. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I know, well, you're not ashamed to proclaim this. It is the power of God. It's an amazing thing. People do all sorts of things to gain forgiveness of sins. But the power of God is what is apparent here. It's Jesus Christ who died upon the cross, who can come into your life and cleanse you of all of your sins, even at this moment. Even as you're in this building, seated, that happened to me. Many years ago, when I was 27 years old, I stumbled into the meeting, an assembly. I didn't know. But for the first time, I heard the gospel. And there, that day, I opened up my heart to Jesus Christ. And he, the power of God just cleansed me and began to change me every day. And this can happen to you today if you open up your heart to him. believing in him. Now, in Acts 16, you might remember that incident where Paul was at Alexander Troas. I hear some of you are going to be going to Turkey pretty soon, and you'll visit Alexander Troas. And I'm sure he related this experience to the people in Corinth. There was one day when I was in Alexander Troas, and I received a vision. A man from Macedonia, which is Greece today, said, come over and help us. And if you read this verse very carefully, I'm sure Paul related that immediately. We went. We didn't sit around discussing this. We knew that people needed to know the Lord. And he's teaching this to the people in Corinth. The need, the great need that people need to have the gospel preached to them. You can be sure that Paul reminded them of the authority of Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, some authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Did I say that right? No, he says all authority. And who has the final authority in this world where it's Jesus Christ? And he says, authority has been given to me, and now I command you, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and making disciples of them. And he said, this is a command from the Lord Jesus that we need to obey. He's teaching this to people in Corinth. This is what's on his heart. And we were talking about this great passage in the Lord's Supper today, weren't we? We never got to verse 8 in Isaiah 6, but I'm sure the Apostle Paul brought this out, where there was one time where God said to people that was around them and looking at the nation that desperately needed a voice from God, whom shall I send and who will go with us? And of course, we know what Isaiah said in his answer, send me. But I'm sure he's teaching this to the believers in Corinth. Who will go into this world? Who will go to the nations that desperately need Christ? The call is to go into all the world. It's the authority of Jesus Christ. You know, Hudson Taylor, of course, he wasn't living during the time of Paul. He came later on. But I'm sure if he was living as a contemporary of the Apostle Paul, Paul probably quoted him. But let's quote him now because we know what he did say. He says, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. You understand what he just said there? You know, it's very simple English. He says it's not an option. You know, you understand what an option is? You know, it's not, oh, maybe I'll do it, maybe I don't, you know, a la carte. Not an option to be considered. You understand what consider means? Well, let me think about that. You know, maybe I'll do it. Maybe I. This is not an option. This is not something to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. Later on, Hudson Taylor said this: if in the sight of God, now hold on to your seats, is the old English expression. You understand that expression? Hold on to your seat. This is powerful stuff. Man. If in the sight of God, you cannot say you are sure that you have a special call to stay at home, why are you disobeying the Savior's plain command to go? That's powerful stuff. I mean, that's good preaching, as preachers would say. We say amen. But I'll tell you, it makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? Because we all read this in our Bibles, and the question is, am I obeying the Lord's command here? Sometimes doctrinal error clouds our vision. William Carey encountered this. He was one of the first missionaries to India. He was known as the father of modern missions. He encountered opposition when preaching, like I'm doing now, about the Great Commission. Someone said to him, young man, a little younger than me, he said, young man, and maybe Alex will get up and say, George, Brother George, sit down. I don't know. But he said, sit down. When God uses to convert the heathen, he will do it with you, without your mind. And I'll tell you, he didn't take no for an answer, William Carey. The result was he wrote a little book, and it was called An Inquiry into Our Obligations of Converting the Heathen. And I tell you, if you read this book, it'll change your life. But I'm telling you now, don't read this book. Don't read this book if you believe Jesus is the final authority. I'll just quote one small section of his book. It's powerful stuff. He says, multitudes of Christians sit at ease and give themselves no concern about the far greater part of their fellow sinners. And we're all sinners, aren't we? And if you're here with Jesus Christ, you're a sinner saved by the grace of God. He says, they have no concern about the far greater part of their fellow sinners, which are in the rest of the world, who to this day are lost in ignorance and idolatry. They need a Savior. They need the message of the gospel. And we need to obey the Great Commission. I tell you, it was a powerful booklet. Don't pick it up if you don't want your life to be changed. Well, Priscilla and Aquila heard all this, and maybe other things Paul said, and they took what the Lord said in Isaiah 6, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And they said, here we are. Send us. And in the Bible, it says, here am I, send me. But I'm talking about a Christian couple. And they said together, here we are. Send us. I say, amen. To see a Christian couple moved in their soul and say it together, here we are, Lord, send us. They embraced the call and became mobile for Christ. You understand that expression? Mobile for Christ. Wherever Christ wants me to go, I will go. So Paul says in verse 18, Paul remained a good time there, and then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. He'll stop in Ephesus. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. They're answering the call to world missions, and they're leaving the city of Corinth. Was it an easy decision for them to do? Well, no, it wasn't. Because sometimes the love of the world clouds our vision. They might have said, wait, Paul, I don't know about us going over to Ephesus. Life is good in Corinth. It's crazy to think of us leaving Corinth to go to another country, even another continent. Oh, you know, we're very comfortable here in Corinth. We live in Corinth. It was nice, but Corinth, it's our home now. But their priorities, because of Jesus Christ, had changed dramatically. Now, yes, Corinth was an international city with many privileges. A lot of people like to live in a city like that. Yes, it was a little immoral, but so are many other large cities. Yeah. It was a cultural center, you know, they liked that kind of stuff, perhaps, and there was no anti-Semitism going on. They had a house. They had a job. Why leave Dallas? I mean, Corinth. Yeah, Dallas is a nice area, isn't it? First time here for us. It's like a grand city. I can see how people can get, you know, quite comfortable here and enjoy living here. But would you consider, for the sake of the gospel, leaving Dallas and going to a part of the world that desperately needs the gospel? Priscilla and Aquila said, yes, we are willing to go. And they got on a boat with the Apostle Paul and sailed off toward Ephesus. They answered the call for world missions. They were a team committed to the cause of Christ. Every day I thank the Lord that I have such a wonderful wife, Nancy, who's more committed, I think, than I am to the cause of world missions. I mean, we're a team. But I thank the Lord for a good woman like that. And, you know, if you're a Christian couple, you need to be encouraging each other to be thinking about greater things than just the things of this world. And the cause of Christ is one of those great things. They went to Ephesus together. They didn't go on some short-term mission trip. They moved there together. Sometimes a husband has interest in world missions. Let's go to Ephesus. And Priscilla, oh, no, 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 no way. Or it could be the other way around. The wife has interest. Oh, okay, let's go to Ephesus with Paul. And Nicole says, no, 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 we can't do that. You know, sometimes it's one way or the other. Questions come up. What about the children? What about my career? I used to worry about that. That was a struggle for me. But I tell you, it's wonderful when you can be like what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What is required for world missions? Missions requires much more than money. You know, God doesn't want your check. I mean, if you want to contribute to world missions financially, praise the Lord, you know, and do it. Of course, you don't write checks anymore, do you? You know, now it's what? Yeah, I just got off the boat, you know, coming from overseas to here. So I don't know what you do now. We used to write checks. What do you do now? PayPal or something strange like that, you know? No, he doesn't want your PayPal transaction. You know what he wants? He wants a Priscilla and Aquila. He wants a couple, a family that will rise up and say, we're going to go. He wants a like-minded spiritual couple willing to be mobile for Christ, to move anywhere that the Lord tells them for the cause of Christ, to take risks for the sake of Christ. It says in different places, but in Romans it says about Priscilla and Aquila, they risk their own necks for my life. Now, this was just note, this is in Romans. So they are now in Rome about the year 58 AD. They had left, I'll say, all of a sudden this is going wacko here. Okay, I need your help. Okay, move the thing. Okay. All right. They had a, it's stuck. All right, we can't have this. All right. So in the thing back here, yeah. Okay, very good. So now they're back in Rome, where they once were expelled due to persecution. All right. The technical difficulty has come up here. Okay. All right. We're going to have to figure this out. All right. And, okay. All right. Hold on. All right. Okay, let's see what we can do. So I have to do it from my computer, but as I talk, then you move it. Okay, yeah. It's working that now? Okay, all right. So now they're back in Rome where they once were expelled due to persecution. So about 10 years later, they go back to Rome. That's risking your neck. They weren't going back to a picnic or anything like that. And we know in 64 AD, some few years later, persecution broke out against the Christians. So they went back to a very risky area. Now, it's interesting. You might say, why did they take the risk? Well, they took the risk because of the believers in Rome for the sake of Christ. Tradition says they were martyred together. Yes, just write this down. You know, I mean, come in with your eyes open. World missions involves risks. It was Samuel Zwemer. He was a missionary to the Arab world many years ago. And he went to China to serve, to minister to the 15 million Chinese Muslims with no single missionary witness that time. And people thought he was crazy. People thought, you know, going to lose your life going over there. And he says, of course, it will cost life. You know, I go in with my eyes open. that if I go somewhere for the sake of Christ, a place that does not know Christ, he says, look, it's not an expedition of ease nor a picnic excursion. It involves people who are dedicated to the cause. You know, if we die as Christians, we know where we're going, don't we? If I'm martyred tomorrow, I know where I'll be. But the poor lost souls that we go to minister to, they don't know anything. They have no hope. And if someone dies, like in Albania, if someone dies, you don't even want to mention the word death because they just go berserk and think, oh, you know, what's going to happen to me? Well, yeah, that's a good question. What will happen to you? And again, if you're here without Jesus Christ, your only hope is to receive him as your Savior. We went to North Korea. We were living and working there for 7 years, as you know. And it was no picnic. And when we went into North Korea, were we going to come out? Did we have any guarantees that we're going to come out alive? We had nothing. But why do you do such crazy things? You do it for Christ. Because he tells us to go into all the world. They understood that the Great Commission also involves the making of disciples. He came to Ephesus, Paul, and he left them there, Priscilla and Aquila, and he went on. So now Priscilla and Aquila are in Ephesus, and all of a sudden, a fellow named Apollos arrives. And in verse 24 of chapter 18, here shows up this man who's a great orator, elegant man, and mighty in the scriptures. He came down to minister the word. And you can read in verse 25 that he was taught some things. But the end of the verse says, though he knew only the baptism of John, he wasn't fully discipled. You know, part of your job, yes, is to make converts, but also to disciple people. And so here, Apollos shows up, and, you know, he was a pretty good preacher, but, well, you know, their spiritual radar was very active. And so in verse 26, he, Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue and saying this and that. And Aquila and Priscilla heard him. And the radar starts going off saying, something doesn't sound quite right here. And that is such a good attribute to have, is you need to listen to things, because there's a lot of doctrinal errors. There's a lot of apostasy going on. And we need to be well-trained enough so that when we hear something, we know if it's right or wrong. You know, people tell me this. I don't know if it's true or not. That one of the great banes of Christianity here in America is something called Christian yoga. Is that true? Alex, is that true? Is that, now, how can this be? I mean, your radar must be broken if you don't know this is wrong. You know, people talk about, oh, I'm going to go to my yoga class. There's nothing Christian about yoga. In fact, it's against Christianity. And there's nothing, you know, when you talk about yoga, it's just totally foreign to Christianity. You can't blend the two. You need to be sensitive to things like this that are going on in a popular way in society. And sometimes realizing this isn't true. And you need to be people that's, you know, speak up. And so here, they took him aside, and the rest of the verse says, imagine, simple couple, tent makers, they pull off aside. I'll just pick on Alex over here, you know, because he's my friend, you know, he won't get mad at me. You know, you pull aside Alex, and you say, Alex, brother Alex, you know, we've heard you preach, but something's not right. And praise the Lord, they had the courage to do that. And they explained to him the way of God more clearly. And praise the Lord, Apollos was humble enough to receive it. But it's part of the Great Commission, making disciples and converts. And then Apollos goes on in verse 27, and was a great blessing to many other churches in other areas. So yeah, we go to preach the gospel, but we also go to make disciples of people. And also part of discipleship is using one's home for the gospel. In verse 5 of Romans 16, Paul says, greet the church that is in their house, the house of Priscilla and Aquila. And he says it in another verse as well. So they use their home for Jesus. Their home was Jesus' home. And it was a hub of activity, blessing for other people. You know, hospitality today is a lost art. You understand what I mean by lost art? You know, people have forgotten that this is an important part of Christian ministry. Why does this happen? Well, people get too busy with their so-called careers, too busy with making money. And if you have those things as your priority, I'll guarantee you, you don't have time for the things of God. You're too tired, you come home, you don't have time to do these wonderful things like host a Bible study in your home, bring over youth groups into your home, the lost in your home, married couples into your home, you know, for whatever purpose, you know, counseling or just, you know, encouraging one another. You don't have time. God is using your home for Jesus. I'll tell you this, truly, Priscilla and Aquila were committed to world missions. Wonderful example. And a good question to ask ourselves today is, what about me? Is my family like the family of Priscilla and Aquila? You know, the personal application is clear. Preaching messages are forgotten. Maybe by this afternoon, 5 o'clock, won't even be able to remember what Brother George said today. But this wasn't true with Nancy and me. Shortly after we were saved, we heard a message about Priscilla and Aquila from a brother, just an ordinary brother. And it left such an impression upon us that we just told the Lord that we want our marriage to be modeled after the life of Priscilla and Aquila. And he did. If you have a heart for the Lord and you ask him to do such a thing, he will give you direction in your lives as the Priscilla and Aquila of this century, of this city. And he'll lead you in areas that, you just never know where he'll lead you. Like with us, led us to places like Albania and North Korea, all because we told the Lord we want to be like Priscilla. So as we finish here today, let's just take a moment and bow our heads. And if you're here as a Christian husband and wife, hopefully you're sitting next to one another. Hopefully you didn't come today having an argument in your car on the way here and she's seated over here and you're over there. Sometimes that happens. Is that right? You shake your head. Yeah, you know what I mean. Hopefully you're together. I want you to take her hand. You take his hand. Put your hands together. And just tell the Lord in this moment of silence, Lord, I don't know what you have for my future, but I want to be like Priscilla. We want to be like Priscilla and Philip. And have our lives shaped so that we answer the call to world missions. Just take a moment of silence, and then I will pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these few moments we've had together today. It's been a blessing for us to be here. Be hopefully an encouragement to the believers here, as they are to us. And I pray for every couple here. They'd be thoughtful about what you have shown us through the example of Priscilla and Aquila. I pray for even every single person here who's not yet married. They would choose as their life mate, their partner, their husband, their future wife, person like Priscilla person like a somebody that they can knit their hearts in with and knit their hearts with you and serve you as Priscilla and Aquila. And I pray for those that are here today without Jesus Christ, that today will be the day of their salvation as they open up their heart to you and receive you as their Lord, their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.